market in late March of 1929 was stabilized and was just a precursor to the devastating fall in late October of the same year. Between Black Thursday, Black Monday, and Black Tuesday, investors had lost billions of dollars, many of whom had ended their own lives, while the rest begged for work, food, and shelter for their families. The cold Atlantic November breeze carried the driftwood well past the first and second markers, leaving Williams finally alone with his thoughts, his demons, and his own personal hell. Even though he might have felt alone within his own thoughts, he was questioned and poked at by every able-bodied man looking to earn a paycheck, desperate men looking to put bread on the table, and men looking to keep a roof over their family's head. The surf was mild for that time of day, and that time of year. While the sun hit midday, Williams was far enough out to sea to let the driftwood drift while he drank himself into oblivion. The seagulls quickly learned that they would be able to stay aboard if the whiskey barrels were full. Out of the seemingly countless birds that hovered over the driftwood back at the harbour, five birds took refuge. Those five seagulls were the oldest and meanest birds that Chesapeake Bay had ever seen. The younger and weaker seagulls tried to stow away, especially with few boats headed out to sea these days. The driftwood seemed like a golden ticket for the five that silently called the driftwood their own. Captain Williams, who had not slept the night before, found rest in the shade of the cabin and three tall glasses of single-barrel whiskey. The seagulls let him be as he dreamt of the ocean as the boat rocked easily along with the steady waves. It wasn't till nightfall that Williams' eyes would open, and with enough moonlight to light the lantern, he found his new feathered crew snuggled up together for the night just outside the cabin door. He quietly laughed at the sight, but couldn't have asked for a better group of shipmates. The three-quarter moon made for decent fishing, and with nothing more to do than drink away the horrors from the night before, Williams let down the nets. His timeline was unsettled, and while his own supplies might not last the journey, Williams could sell or trade his catch easily, with most of America suffering from the Great Depression. He had no children of his own, and would never have any to care for, any to teach or watch grow. Williams had no intention of finding another woman, another mate, not after the fate that Laura suffered. There would be no better picture painted than the one shimmering atop the calm night waters of the Atlantic. Stars mirrored themselves, causing the night sky to become endless. Williams felt as if he were in space aboard the flying driftwood, although it could have been the whiskey playing tricks on his mind. Before setting the rudder in a position that would cause the driftwood to make a large continuous circle, Williams pulled a few buckets of chum from one of the three barrels. He cut, hacked, and sawed away until the pieces of chum were just the right size. The night waters turned blood red as the boat slowly turned, and the nets filled quickly. As he pulled the nets to the side of the driftwood, he saw the shimmering scales of what could, and couldn't have actually been, a mermaid. "Too much whiskey, or not enough? Maybe a mental break," he thought to himself as he watched the mythical creature swim alongside the driftwood. Fairy tales of the creature focused on them swimming in the moonlit waters and talked of catching fishermen in an autumn trance during the near full moons. Some tales spoke of gentle creatures, while others told a story of violence, a spiteful creature that protected the sea from fishermen. As quickly as the mythical mermaid appeared, it was gone, leaving an almost unrepairable hole in one of the nets. Half of his catch had either escaped through the torn net or was set free from the beast. And while it didn't concern Williams a great deal, he certainly didn't plan on waiting around to find out the truth of it all. Both nets were pulled from the salty waters, the catch dumped into the cold storage, and the few that ended up on the deck Williams saved for his new feathered crew that were no longer nestled up, but fighting each other over the biggest of the catch. He poured himself another three-fingered whiskey, watched the seagulls with a smile, then turned to the shimmering waters, hoping to catch another glimpse of the mythical creature. Williams wasn't sure if the mermaid was real, but he was sure that he saw something. Either it was real, some form of mental break, a hallucination, or just the effects of the whiskey. But either way, he had seen a half-human, half-fish swimming beside his boat.